Good morning. So happy that you are here today, that we're gathered here together in the name of Jesus to give God our worship and our praise. As we get started today, I want us to begin with a word of prayer. Ask God to bless our time together. Let's pray. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures down to every generation. It is you, by the word of your power, you have established the earth. And we are here today because you will it. You have appointed this day. We are willing servants. We come before you asking that you open our hearts and our minds to the truths of your word and that we might delight in what we find. Help us to never forget your instructions, because it is by them that we find life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we live in a time of great cynicism. We live in a world today where we are suspicious of most everything, it seems. The word cynicism literally means a general lack of faith or hope in other people. Do you have a lack of hope and faith in people around you? Well, it seems that most of us do, because America lives, we live in a time of great cynicism. In fact, cynicism is at a new high. There was an article back in April of this past year in Forbes magazine called "American Cynicism in Nobody We Trust." And in that article, they shared several stats. I want to share some of them with you now. The American Press Institute has released a survey that shows that 6% of Americans have a great deal of confidence in the news. 6%! It's an all-time new low that people don't trust what they hear through major media outlets and through news in newspapers and television. According to the Pew Research Center, there's been a steady decline in the last 40 years that has left the approval rating of our government by we the people at an all-time new high. People don't trust the government. 20 years ago, the percentage of Americans who had a great deal, who would mark on a survey, "I have a great deal," or "quite a lot of confidence in religious institutions and religious leaders," was in the high 50s. But according to Gallup, it's now in the low 40s. People don't even trust the church anymore or religious institutions. There may be good reason for that. Trust has been destroyed on a lot of fronts in our culture. In fact, even here, in our gathering of faith, we're a people, a lot of us, who have had trust damaged in the past. Church leaders have proved themselves to be untrustworthy in a lot of places, not just in high-profile news reports about the immorality of religious leaders or the untrustworthiness of tele-evangelists, but even in our own ranks, many of us have known religious leaders, preachers and teachers and elders and deacons, who have been teaching one thing and then the bombshell drops and we see that they've been living a double life. And they've been doing things behind closed doors that are not in alignment with what they teach. And so the church is filled. All of us are damaged people. All of us are broken people. We're just at different levels of brokenness or different levels of healing. But because we are such a close group of people, God's called us to be a family in the church. In most families, gossip is all too prevalent. And we end up being suspicious of one another. Can I really trust the person down the pew? Can I really trust the person in my classroom? Can I really trust the person in my small group? to hold in confidence what I have shared. And so because we've been burned by a lack of trust oftentimes, we look around even within the family of faith here and we think, well, who can I really trust? Many of us have had damaged trust. And damaged trust is a breeding ground for suspicion. If you've been in the church any period of time, you have no doubt been burned by thinking you could trust in someone only to have that trust betrayed. And so we end up being suspicious of one another. And this is, I think, what ends up causing us to not be as close with other believers as God really wants us to be. It all comes back down to trust. Stephen Covey, who you probably are familiar with, he wrote that very popular and acclaimed book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Stephen Covey once made this statement, which I thought was a powerful statement. He said, "Trust is the glue of life. It's the most essential ingredient in effective communication. It is the foundational principle that holds all relationships." And I think he's absolutely right. Trust is the glue of life. If you really want to get close to people, trust is key. It is the foundational principle of all relationships. Well, what is trust? Trust is the firm belief in the reliability or the truth or the ability or strength of someone else or something else. I can trust this person. I can trust this thing because it's reliable. Well, when we think about trust and the importance of trust, particularly in the church, there's a passage in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 31. That's our lesson text today if you want to look back at it. That shows us that even early on, at the very beginning of the Christian faith, at the very beginning of the church, building trust was so crucial. The church was made up of a large group of people, very diverse. In fact, made up of two groups of people that for centuries had not trusted one another. Jews and Gentiles. And there had to be a lot of trust building that went down. Because if we're going to be one body, if we're going to be one gathering united together on our faith in Jesus, if we're really going to be brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to be committed to trust being the foundational principle. We have to be committed to building trust and maintaining trust with each other. We have got to hold trust at the very top of the list when it comes to our relationships and interactions with each other. Well, in the early church, the believers had been burned greatly. You probably know what it's like to be burned when it comes to relationships. Well, the early church had been burned because there was a guy going around by the name of Saul, who was a headhunter, a bounty hunter of the church. This Saul of Tarsus had been entering into the homes, the personal residences of Christians, finding out that they believed in Jesus, dragging them off, putting them in jail, even committing some of them to the death penalty for their belief in the Christ. And now word is beginning to spread among the believers that this same Saul is now going into homes, now going among believers in Christian gatherings, and he's claiming that he's been converted to the Christian way. In fact, he's been even going around preaching a message of the gospel, and now he has joined himself to the disciples in the city of Damascus. Well, in today's text, we find that Saul has come down to Jerusalem. You know, ground zero from where the church is radiating outward. He comes to the centralized place of leadership of where the church has begun. And now, in what might look like a move to many who don't trust him, it seems he's trying to infiltrate the church. He comes and he tries to join the disciples there. And in our lesson text today, we see he's got a hard task ahead of him. He has to build trust. He has to show the believers, his integrity, his reliability. He has to build trust. And so what we're going to see very quickly this morning, I'm going to move through these in rapid fashion. I want to show you six principles that jump right out of this text that show us how we have to build trust. How to build trust with other people. Notice verse number 26. This is Acts chapter 9, verse 26. It says, the text says, "And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple." They didn't believe. They didn't trust him. They didn't believe he was reliable. They didn't believe he was they didn't believe he could be embraced and accepted into their group. They didn't believe that he was a disciple. Now, I think the thing that we see out of this first verse here is that it doesn't really matter how long you've been a part of a gathering of believers, a short time or a long time. Sometimes we think that because we're in the church, we're in a gathering of people who believe in Jesus and hold to high levels of a standard of morality and human behavior. We sometimes think that trust should just be automatic. That if I come to church, that people ought to trust me. And I should be able to trust them. Sometimes we think trust just happens quickly and automatically. But what we see here is that's just not reality. The first principle we see about building trust is that trust is not automatic. Trust has to be earned. You have to show yourself trustworthy. He tried to join the disciples and immediately they're suspicious of him. He's got some work to do in building trust, earning their trust. So what this principle shows me, first and foremost, is that we all need to not just assume that people perceive us as trustworthy. We should not assume that we can even trust others around us. But instead, we must be committed to the work of earning trust, building trust, validating a person's trust. But now notice next, verse number 27. "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them." And we're going to see what he declares in just a second. But Barnabas, this guy we read about in the book of Acts who is called the son of encouragement. I don't know what interaction that Barnabas had had with Paul prior to this. There's been some writers that have tried to imagine and tried to pull together little scant pieces of evidence to assume that Barnabas had already known Paul ahead of time. I think he probably did. I don't know what interactions they had had. But for some reason, Barnabas believed in Saul. Barnabas then took him by the hand and brought him to the apostles. You see, if you want real relationships, it means you're going to have to take a risk. Now, some of us have been burned by relationships. Trust has not been maintained, and therefore we're skittish when it comes to relationships. It's always a risk to invest in people. It's always a risk to put yourself out there and to do the hard work of building trust. Well, Barnabas was willing to take the risk of really getting to know Saul. I know in my personal life, and I bet you know this too, some of the most rewarding relationships that I've ever had in my life have been because I have taken the risk to get to know people who at first I was a little timid to get to know them. I didn't really think that I would want to get to know them because they were different than me, had different perspectives, even different viewpoints than me. And so I kind of distanced myself from them. But I'm going to tell you, some of the most rewarding relationships I've had is when I've closed the distance and really gotten to know somebody that was very different than me. Those relationships can be so rewarding. So the second principle of building trust is this. Trusting someone requires that you really get to know them. You've got to be willing to invest and put time in getting to know another person. Now today, we start a new season of our small groups. And the primary thing we're going to do in this first session is not necessarily discuss the sermon today. What we're going to do is we're going to spend time doing some activities and asking questions to really try to get to know each other in our groups. Because if we're going to really be the body of Christ, we've got to be committed to building trust. And the key principle of building trust is we've got to get to really know each other. And so it's very important. Now notice thirdly, verse 27, what does Barnabas declare? How that on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. You see, throughout his life, we see Paul, not only here through the words of Barnabas, but throughout the book of Acts, Paul often goes around telling his life's story to other people. He shares his journey on the road. You see, building trust begins with being transparent about your story, sharing your story with other people, sharing your life with them. So the next principle we see about building trust is that transparency about your life accelerates the building trust process. The more transparent you can be with other people, that you can open your life and share your story, that is going to accelerate building trust. Because a person feels like they start to really get to know you and what you're about and the experiences that you've had. C.S. Lewis once wrote these words, "Friendship is born at the moment when one man says to another, or one person says to another, 'What? You too?'" I really like that, because what Lewis is saying is that's when friendship starts to happen. That's when trust begins to be built and relationships begin to be cemented one to another. Is whenever you realize that somebody has had a similar story, a similar experience, a similar struggle that you have had. You look at the person eye to eye and you say, "Really? You too?" You see, trust begins and is really accelerated and being built by being transparent. Now notice next, verse 28. "So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord." Now the disciples at Jerusalem did not trust Saul immediately. It took some time of him going in and out among them. You see, you will not automatically or quickly build trust. Trust is not quickly built. It takes time and intention to build trust. But while it takes time to build trust and to gain trust, trust can be lost in a moment. And so the next principle that I think we see about building trust is that building trust takes time. And so we need to be patient and persistent with one another. Don't get discouraged and think, "Well, they ought to trust me by now. Or I ought to feel like I trust them by now." Be patient and realize it's a process, but be persistent. Do like Saul and go in and out among them. Just keep on being committed to building trust. Notice now in verse number 30. "And he spoke and disputed among the Hellenists," that is the Greek-speaking Jews, "but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus." Now ultimately, building trust happens when people can see that you are authentic. When people can see that you have integrity, that you're not just all talk. That you don't say one thing and then do another. You see, trust is built whenever people can see that your actions are in alignment with your words and you keep your word. Well, there's no better reality of this in Saul's life is the fact that he had been preaching Jesus, and now these Hellenists are seeking to kill him. And then notice in verse 30 it says, "And when the brothers learned this, they took him down to Caesarea." They protected him. Why all of a sudden are these disciples that had been suspicious of Saul now protecting him? Because they can see that in the midst of pressure and persecution, he sticks with what he had said. Even in the face of them, his enemies seeking to kill him, his actions and his words are in alignment. So I think we learn this principle about trust. Trust is built on words and actions being aligned together. If you want to be committed to building trust in your marriage, with friends, with people in your small group, people in church, then one of the best things you can do is make sure that the what you do corresponds to what you say. If you say that you like somebody, or you are really enjoy being with somebody, but then behind their back you speak ill will of them to others, or gossip about them, you see, that's a trust buster. What builds trust is when actions and words are aligned. And then finally, notice verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea and Samaria, and Galilee and Samaria, had peace and were being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Now here's the payoff. Here is the reason why we should be committed to building trust with each other. It does take great effort. It does take patience. Yes, it takes persistence. Yes, it takes a risk to build trust in people. But what this verse shows is it's worth it. It is only by building trust that you're ever going to have the friends that you so desire. It is only by building trust that you're going to get to be a part of a community of mutual love and respect that we all long for. It is only by building trust that you will come to know a family of faith that you have hoped for in your heart of hearts. You see, the church is built up and multiplied whenever we do the hard work of building trust. So quickly, the sixth point is, building trust is worth the risk and worth the effort. Why? Because it glues us together. It builds us up and causes us to multiply. Because think about it. If we show that we hold at a premium trust, and we don't tolerate breaking trust with each other, don't you think that would magnetize other people wanting to be a part of this family when they know they can come and be a part of a place when they share their life that it'll be held in confidence? And whenever they know they can trust the people of this church, it's certainly worth it. And it's what will cause the church to be magnified and expanded, multiplied. Now, let's review real quickly. So, six principles for building trust. How do you build trust? Let's just look at each one of them in turn. Go ahead and advance the slide. It's got to be earned. You got to earn trust. It doesn't happen automatically. Number two, we see that trust requires really getting to know another person personally. Thirdly, transparency is key to building trust when you share your life's journey with another person. Number four, building trust takes time, so you got to be patient and persistent. Number five, you got to realize that trust is built on words and actions being in alignment. You got to keep your word. And then finally, building trust is worth the risk and worth the effort because it glues us together. As we draw to a close, I want to share a passage from the Old Testament. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6, the Bible says, many proclaim themselves loyal or trustworthy. Many people will claim, oh, you can trust me. All of us want to believe that we're trustworthy individuals. I don't think anybody in here would say, no, you can't trust me. Don't tell me anything. You can't trust me. Nobody's going to say that. We all think we're trustworthy. We all proclaim ourselves to be trustworthy. But saying you're trustworthy and proving yourself to be trustworthy are two different things. Many proclaim themselves to be trustworthy or loyal, but who can find one worthy of trust? I want to challenge you in your marriage, in your relationship with your kids and grandkids, in your relationship with your co-workers and your boss, your employees, in your relationship with your neighbor down the street, the person next door, in your relationship with the person who waits on you at the restaurant and serves you your meal, in your relationship with your teacher or your students, in your relationship with the person in your small group, don't just claim to be trustworthy. Show yourself, prove yourself to be trustworthy. And so today, as we meet in our small groups, this is going to be our primary focus, is to show the importance of not just claiming that we're trustworthy, but today we're going to really get to know each other and share our stories and experiences together by doing some icebreaker activities. But the whole purpose of doing it is I want you to work on learning to trust people in your small group, and I want you to be committed to showing yourself to be trustworthy. I know for some of us that's difficult. We've had trust broken so many times. People that we've gotten close to have betrayed us, stabbed us in the back, and we think, is there anybody ever I can trust ever again? Well, it takes some courage to step out there and take the risk of getting to know people again when you've been hurt. But I want to challenge you to take the risk. I want to challenge you to invest in people. I want to challenge you to really get to know other believers in a deep and rich way. And I also want to say to you this morning that if you've really been burned, the first step is I want to share with you a friend that will never leave you, never forsake you. He will always keep his word. He will never betray your trust. And he will be with you always, even till the end. And that is Jesus the Christ. The way that you can come to know a relationship with your Creator and have confidence in Him is you've got to first take the step of faith in believing that you can trust Him. Salvation is a free gift of grace given us by God, but it is received by trusting Him, by believing in Him in faith. Will you come believing in Him today if you've not made that step? Will you surrender your life and confess that you do trust in Him to be the Son of God and the Savior and Lord of your life? Will you surrender to being joined with Him in the waters of baptism? If we can help you in that process of being born again, or maybe you just need to confess that you're having a hard time with trust and you just need the encouragement of others, we'd love to pray with you. Either the shepherds privately in the library, you can go and have private prayer, you can come forward and we'll all pray together for you. If we can help you, come to the one who will never betray your trust, Jesus, the Son of God, as we stand and as we sing.